This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by regular guest Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at RSM. RSM's got this magnificent reputation in private equity. We're going to talk to Matt today about valuations, and we've got the public markets hitting new records seemingly every day. What does this mean for the private equity deal market? Does that mean the private equity deal market also is seeing insane multiples? Maybe they're not insane. Maybe that's the new world we're in as long as interest rates are so low. Matt, what are you seeing in valuations? I know that you lead the valuations practice at RSM. What do you see and what can we expect?
Yeah, great question, Scott. It's what we've seen relative to the public and private valuations is more and more private equity investors and portcos are eyeing that public exit. I think we expect this elevated multiple environment to continue for some time, at least, you know, based on the information we have. Now, you mentioned interest rates. The Fed has done an excellent job communicating its plan there. There's no real shocks, but still a lot of dry powder chasing relatively few assets, inflating or kind of preserving those multiples. But I think what's a little bit different this cycle is more and more private equity sponsors are looking at public exits, whether IPO, SPAC, et cetera.
And that's something we've not seen really in a generation. For so long, there's this decrease in the number of public companies that and there's so many regulatory burdens that come with being public that for the last decade plus, there's been a decrease yearly in the number of companies that are public as things have moved towards private. Now you've got this reverse trend of the public markets being so frothy and such an exciting exit that people are looking at that. How long does that last? I mean, it seems to me that the, you know, part of the bloom is already off the rose on the SPAC side, but what do you see in terms of the continuation of the public markets being the exit, one of the exit places of choice? That's been a long time since that was the case, and it's been really the case the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And I think one of the changes there is that there's still a lot to comply with in order to be public. And it is expensive to be public, more expensive than it is to be private. However, when it comes to a lot of those compliance costs, there have been improvements in automation tools and technology that have been reducing the real cost of providing some of those services. Getting that public company audit, getting all the other kind of legal and other advisory work done, that there have been technology-driven sort of cost savings there. You know, the one thing I will say that I think a lot of executive teams might misunderstand is that there's a lot more that goes into being a public company than just simply getting a PCAOB level audit and a few other, you know, internal controls and things like that. I mean, it really is, you need to have the right executive team. You need to have the right culture around being a public company. But the costs are coming down.
Yeah, and your point on that is you also run the risk, if you're not a big enough public company, you run the risk of being shorted and those kinds of things by in the markets. And that kind of stuff creates tremendous stress for public company executives, aside from the compliance costs and everything else.
Oh, absolutely, yes, especially with the way that we've seen, you know, so much of executive compensation being tied to that stock price. If, you know, you're on certain exchange and maybe performance isn't there and you catch the attention of retail investors, it could be problematic.
And what do you see right now? So valuations on the private equity driven deals are really high. There's not enough private equity deals to go around. Private equity funds are buying from private equity funds, they're buying from initial sellers, from founders, and there's just not enough deals. Any sense of how long this valuation froth remains, or is that something that if you're an owner, you got to think about, should we sell now before it goes in the other direction?
Yeah, so we try to think of the situations in which those multiples could come down, and certainly it looks different in each kind of sector or subsector of industries. In general, they're elevated, but not not everywhere. And our view is that, you know, if you have a successful solid operating company or a company that could grow into that description, you probably don't have to worry about multiples falling anytime soon.
Right. We've at least got in, and this is, I mean, to fetch Herman Powell with your believe he's kept interest rates too over too long. Do you like the low interest rates? To his credit, he's done a very good job of telegraphing to people, this is what I plan to do. I mean, this is the plan. And so, and to his credit, we all sort of know interest rates, if they're going up, probably aren't going up to early 2023, which means from a standpoint of interest rates, he's not taking the punch bowl away for at least another year and a half plus is what seems most likely. It is really, I mean, he's been very good about sort of telegraphing to the market, this is what he intends to do.
Absolutely, yes. And that's a great point to note to your listeners, that the tapering that, as it stands, will happen later this year is not the same as increasing interest rates. It'll be interesting to see how the yield curve reacts to that. I don't think it'll be a very large reaction, certainly not enough to squelch any deals. So we'll be in this interest rate environment for a while. You know, one thing that we're kind of working with companies on in terms of supporting that multiple as we evolve into kind of this new normal or whatever you want to call it, is, you know, you got to look at your labor and your talent in a way that we haven't before. And I think that the winners going forward, those companies that can sustain those high multiples, get those great exits, they will be able to attract and retain top talent. And we'll see that as a competitive advantage across ecosystems.
Well, that's a fascinating point right there, because I did see today, like when Amazon's hiring 55,000 more technology and corporate staff, and they already employ 900,000 people, that itself has an impact on the labor market and the ability for all these other software and services and technology companies to hire people when the people with the biggest pocketbooks are hiring. That has a big impact on talent, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, those are just incredible numbers. They're almost incomprehensible, right? Like, it's so many people. And that's another reason, another thing that is making being a public company attractive. Part of the reason that Amazon and other large companies like them can hire so many technology people and corporate staff is they have these great stock compensation packages, which you can only really feasibly do at scale if you're a public company.
Right. And it's the old adage of the rich get richer. They've built such a profitable company that they can afford to hire people at rates that most companies have to stretch to. Even if they're hiring lots of people, they can afford it, whereas a lot of companies just can't do that. But no, a fascinating
Absolutely.
Thing to watch. Matt, I want to thank you as always for joining us on the Private Equity Podcast. It is just fascinating to watch these multiples. And obviously, everybody's guess is as good as anybody else's, but your guess is better because you head up valuations at RSM as to where valuations are going. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us always.
Thank you, Scott.